To find our text for today, it's the Gospel of John. We've made our way down to that last paragraph in chapter 2, Gospel of John chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 23. Gospel of John chapter 2 and verse 23. If you're physically able to stand, would you stand and let's honor God as we read His Word in your presence and you listen, contemplate these truths, then we're going to ask God's blessing on our time together. Gospel of John, chapter 2, beginning at verse number 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man. For he himself knew what was in man. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Verse 3. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Amen. Our Father, we bow before you now and confess. We need your help as we consider these verses that lie open before our eyes. Meet us now in the Scriptures and make the truth plain to us. Show us how it applies to our lives and then grant us that great grace to order our lives according to your blessed will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Our subject for today is very familiar topic. You must be born again. You must be born again. You remember from last week, we connect the dots real briefly. Last week, as we were looking at chapter 2, we saw Jesus go in and cleanse the temple. We saw the need for the temple being cleansed in verses 13 and 14. We saw the trouble that had defiled the temple. We saw the kinds of cleansing that Jesus performed in verses 15, 16, and 17. He cleared the people out. He cleared the paraphernalia and their merchandise out, right? The temple needed to be cleansed. We saw in verses 18 and 19 that Jesus revealed the need for a new temple. That old temple was no longer necessary in the economy of God and the redemptive plan of God. And then he finally revealed that the kind of the new temple was actually going to be his body. Okay? So that in verses 20, 21, and 22. So as we come to our text today, I want you to see that Jesus now, having moved from that circumstance where he cleaned out the old temple and the old way of attempting to worship God, and he brought himself into the matter. The temple pointed to Christ to begin with, right? He's on the scene now, and now he's about to reveal why he's God, okay? Help people to see that you are looking at divinity, all right? Now, in doing so, I want you to see that in this first paragraph, that Jesus knows the heart of everyone. Everyone. When he was walking the earth, he knew the heart of everyone before they ever opened their mouths, before they ever did anything. He was the God-man, right? He limited some of his glory when he was incarnate, but he was still divine, all right? And as he enters his ministry, that divinity begins to be seen and understood by other people. So Jesus, as he walked this earth, knew all about you before you ever spoke, before you ever did anything. That's the reason he could say to Judas, "Did I not choose you? And I know you are a devil." Yes? And then we're going to see in the next section that not only does Jesus know the heart of everyone, he reveals it. So let's dive in. Jesus knows the heart of everyone. We begin by thinking about this truth. Miracles attract false believers. Okay? Miracles attract false believers. I didn't say that they only attract false believers, but I'm saying you get my point. Miracles attract false believers. And here's the, look at verse 23. You got 23? Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name. Why? When they saw the signs he was doing. Okay? They believed when they saw the signs. And I've told you early on, in the Gospel of John, you have to always let the context define the term. The word believe does not always mean true belief in the gospel, okay? You have to continue reading to see what it means. All right, we're together so far? So, miracles attract people by nature. People by nature are attracted to the supernatural, right? People they're always impressed with supernatural activity, spectacular activity, particularly when they can benefit from it. Yeah? So that's the reason people flock to healing rallies and miracle rallies and miracle men and this and why? Because I want to get some benefit from it. Okay? The spectacular attracts people when they get personal benefit. And here's the tragedy. Even though miracles attract, people that place their faith in the miracles alone can never be saved. Even if it's a godly miracle. And this is really important. Whenever God is working miracles, it is not for you to put the faith in the miracle. And you see it happening all over. That's the reason you have clinics on church growth. God works a mighty miracle, sends a revival in some location. Okay? Just people flood into the kingdom. So now somebody has a pattern. If you want church growth, this is what you do. A, B, C. Well, you see, that's you don't put your faith in the miracle. The method is not the issue. It's the God of the method. Yeah? Yeah? The God of the method. And so you remember how in John 4, Jesus was responding to people that were needing his help. He says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You're seeking after these signs and wonders. Now, can you find John 20? This is an extremely important, these two verses. John 20 and verses 30 and 31, right? John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Listen to it. Now, Jesus did many other signs, and that word means miracles, right? Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But look at verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe what? That Jesus is the Christ. The signs were not intended for you simply to believe in the signs. The miracle is intended for you to look to the God of the miracle. To believe that Jesus is the Christ, and then what? The Son of God, and that by believing you what? May have life in his name. Okay? The miracle points you to the Christ as Savior and the one who can save you. They get your attention and they point you to him. Yes? He's the only one that can save. That miracle cannot save you. All right? But it certainly attracts false believers. Now, the next thing I want you to notice is that Jesus knows false believers. Yes? Now, you certainly aren't surprised by that. But let's look at verses 24 and 25. The first thing you notice is that Jesus has divine, that's what I call it, divine knowledge about counterfeit motives, about people with phony motives, about people who are phony themselves. He sees you through and through. He sees you coming. He knows you before you ever get to where you're going, whatever you're planning to do. He sees through everyone, right? So he knows those that are counterfeit. Look at verse 24. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. You see it? He wasn't entrusting his cause to these false believers. Why? Because he knew they weren't for real. Once the miracle wears off, they're gone. You saw thousands of people do that, right? They loved the free meals. They loved free healing. They followed him around until the free meals stopped and the free healing stopped, and then they were gone. Okay? And so Jesus knows that. Now look at that again. But on his part, he did not entrust himself to them. And so you and I don't need to think that Jesus is in a lot of the counterfeit stuff going on in this world. He's not entrusting himself. God isn't dependent upon all of this counterfeit activity that's going on in the world. He doesn't need that to save people. I hope you're really listening now. The gospel, we are not ashamed, what? Of the gospel, because what? It is the power of God for what? Salvation. To all who believe. That the gospel is what has the power, not the miracle. Right? Now thank God for miracles. It's wonderful. I thank God that he still works wonderful, mighty miracles. But it's the gospel that saves, not a miracle. Now there is a miracle that will come about as a result of the gospel. Okay? But we're not there yet. All right? So, Jesus has divine knowledge about counterfeit motives and deceptive people. And the last thing I want you to see is that, and Jesus doesn't need you to tell him that before he knows it. Jesus doesn't need to hear phony testimony before he knows you're phony, right? He doesn't need confessions to determine your spiritual condition, right? Now, this is written for when he walked the earth, because many people just saw him as Mary's son and Joseph's son. He's a carpenter. He's a homeboy. We know him, okay? And so now Jesus is revealing himself as God. They got real trouble with that, and particularly the Pharisees and his opponents. So you see verse 25? And he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. He knows everyone's spiritual condition. Everyone in this room, ultimately you need to come clean, because it's a sad day for you to live and die, and then Jesus has to reveal what's really in you. He says, many on that day, many who have said, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this for you? I sang and I preached and I taught in Sunday school. I was a deacon and I was a this and I was a that, right? Matthew 7, he says, depart from me. Why? I never knew you. He didn't deny you did all the things, but you never took time to know me. Okay? This is really serious. And so, don't think that you're playing games with Jesus. Is not a, don't do that. He sees you through and through. Right? What you're doing is wasting your own time. You're wasting your own life. Remember how the Bible says a man, gained the whole world and what? Lose his soul? Would you do that? Would you lose your soul working in the church? Busy working in the church, and you will wind up with an eternity of misery and pain. Something wrong with that picture. Amen. So everybody needs to be real with Jesus. He already knows. He wants you to fess up. Yeah? And I promise you, there is nothing more blessed than being real with Jesus. You'll never be more blessed in your life than you are when you're real with him. What a blessing it is to be free, right? Those whom the Son, what, sets free are free indeed. Isn't it wonderful to be free to tell the truth? Yeah. To tell the truth. Why would you play games with God? He already knows it. He simply wants true confession. So we good so far? Jesus knows the heart of everyone. He knows those that are attracted to him for the wrong reasons, and he wants you to know it. All right? The last thing, then, that I see in these verses is that he also reveals the heart of everyone. Let's begin by thinking about Nicodemus. Now, you saw before, miracles attract what? False believers. But miracles also attract true, all right, believers. So you got verses 1 and 2. Let's look at the reality of the fact that don't think that miracles are bad. Right? Godly miracles are good. Just because people abuse them doesn't mean they're bad. And God still uses them to get the attention of those who are genuine. You got verse 1? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, here's something that I noticed about Nicodemus and something you and I need to think about. Even though people can be in a church, they can be in a very sound church with sound teaching, sound doctrine, good education, good training, you can be in that church and still be just as unsaved as anyone else. Good teaching doesn't save you. Good Bible study doesn't save you. Good preaching does not save you. Okay? We got Nicodemus here. By the way, for Nicodemus to be a ruler of the Jews, if you were on the Sanhedrin, you had to memorize most of the Old Testament. Imagine that. So this brother knew the Bible. He just didn't know God. And trust me, I went to seminary with a lot of people like that. They knew the Bible, but they did not know God. And that's a danger with, quote, Bible education. Okay? Because, again, it's just like the miracle. If your goal is to know the Bible, you can do that. If you feel like you've accomplished your goal because you know the Bible and you know the meaning of the Bible, it happens all the time. And you wind up teaching other people to know what? The Bible. So you see the danger, right? So here was a leader of the Jews who was well taught in the scriptures, but he still was not saved. But the beauty of it is that he was attracted to Jesus anyway. You see? He was a leader. He should have known all of these truths, but when your heart is right, you will humble yourself and get real with Jesus, even though you've been faking it all of these years. And I'm saying that to everybody in this room. Don't let pride keep you from Christ. It's because you've been a church member for however long. You've done things for whatever length of time. Get real with Jesus. Said Nicodemus came to him by night. Well, it doesn't matter. Just come to him. You don't have to come to him in our worship service. Go to him where you are. He meets you where you are. Get real with him. Because this is not a game. It's not a game. The hour is growing late. There's an old song that says, what, midnight. You remember that song? Midnight's coming when no man can see. Right? You need to come to Jesus while it's day, while it's light, while you can see. The day of grace is here. We good? And so this religious leader and teacher was attracted. And you notice he was attracted by these same miracles. True seekers understand that miracles, a godly miracle, if you will, points to Jesus as divine. True seekers are able to get beyond that miracle and see that the miracle is a sign. It really is a sign that points. It points to the one who works the miracle. Okay? You got verse 2? Look at verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Look at that. For no one could do these signs that you do unless what? God is with him. Yeah. You see, he didn't stop at the miracle. He wanted to know the God behind the miracle. Okay? God has to be in these miracles that you work, I know, are divine. And so I want to know about the God of the miracle. Yes? This is a true seeker. This is a true, what I call a true believer, true seeker of truth. You remember Jeremiah 29, you remember that? Comes on the heels of God knows the plans he has for your good, not for your hurt. 13, then I think it says, you will seek me and find me if you seek me with your whole heart, with all your heart, right? You seek me with your whole heart. So that's what I mean by a true seeker. You're not seeking for what you can get. You're seeking because you want God. You want to know him. You want a real relationship with him, right? And so here Nicodemus is, seeking to know this God behind these miracles. And you notice, unlike the phony ones that Jesus didn't entrust himself to, Jesus helps believers that are truly seeking him. He helps people that really want to know him. So let's look at this help and we'll be done. What Jesus says here is something that everyone must accept. No one can see the kingdom of God or enter the kingdom of God naturally. You can't do it by your natural senses. You can't do it by hear, see, smell, taste, touch, whatever. All those natural, regardless of how effective you are in your natural life, you can never see the spiritual kingdom that we're talking about on your own. You can't do it. 1 Corinthians 2, right? The natural man does not understand the things of the kingdom because they're what? Spiritually discerned. You can't do it. And so you got verse 3. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, what? He cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no way you're going to understand what I'm talking about here today until the Holy Spirit does something in you. Amen. It has to be done in you first. And then you say, I see. I see that Jesus, and I see my need for Jesus, and I call to him, you see. Before you can call upon him, you have to be able to see first. All right? Then you see what he says in verse 5. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Right? You can't enter, you can't see it, nor can you enter it until you have been born again. Okay? You can't do it on your own. You can't do it naturally. You can't do it by just coming to church. You can't do it by listening to good sermons. You can't do it by listening to good Christian music. All of those things are wonderful. But you need... Now, here's where I'm going. You do need a miracle. But the miracle needs to be in you, not outside you. Yes? That's the miracle you want. The ones outside you draw you to God, point you to him, and you need to ask him to work this. You want that mighty miracle worked in you. Yes? The mighty miracle so that you can see and understand this great kingdom. The next thing I want you to notice is that to be born again is the same as being born of water and spirit. And if you've ever seen this before, you know there are a lot of commentaries who got a lot of opinions about what water and spirit mean. Okay. One version is that being born of water is like your natural birth from your mother. And then born of the Spirit is of God. Another one is baptism. And then they go on and on. But the issue is, we're not trying to get bogged down in the minutiae. Just realize what Jesus is saying here. To be born again is the same as being born of water and Spirit. Okay? In other words, everybody here is born twice. If you're a Christian. Yeah? Amen. Once of your mother, and then of your father. Yeah? The first time you get born of your mother, If you're a Christian, you get born of your heavenly Father. Yeah? Born what? Again. You must be born again. And you remember in chapter 1, we saw that that also means being born of God. Right? Of your mother the first time, of God the second time. And so Jesus helps. You see, when you are a true seeker, Jesus wants you to understand. Now, here's the issue. Jews believed that they were guaranteed entry into the kingdom of God because they were Jews. I was born a Jew, so I automatically get a free ticket in. You see the problem? So from their perspective, it's my first birth that guarantees me rights and privileges in the kingdom of God. Jesus had to come to him and say, no, it's your second birth. Okay? Now, here's a good thing. Nicodemus really wanted to understand. And when you really want to understand, you know what? Jesus really wants to teach you. Yeah, he does. He's not hiding truth from you, my brother, my friend. He is not hiding truth from you. But you got to be real with him. And if you are real with him, you will find the greatest joys of life. Truth, there is nothing like truth. It, right? Truth is marvelous. Why would you want anything other than truth? Once you've tasted it, right? Taste and see. The Lord is good. The truth is good. Once you've tasted it, you don't want deception and lies and confusion. You want what? Truth. Yes. Give me truth. Yeah? Give me truth. And so you can see then that spiritual birth must come from the Holy Spirit. You got verse 6? That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Again, natural people get born naturally from their mothers. Spiritual people get born naturally from the Holy Spirit. Okay? You, again, you must be born again. And then finally, this is I want you to get this as a try to bring it all together. People do not understand the miracle of being born again. So don't sit here and try to figure it out. But what we do, we can experience the result of it. Okay? You can't explain a miracle. If you can, it was a lie. It was a fake. A true miracle cannot be explained with natural phenomena. That's the reason it's called what? A miracle. It's outside of natural phenomena. And so when it comes to being born again, you can't explain that, but you can see the result of it. Now, look at the verse. You got it again? Look at verse 7 and 8. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. What is Jesus saying there? He's saying to every one of us that don't start comparing people's salvation. And you know how tempting that is. You got saved one way and you assume that everybody else has to be saved the same way. He's saying that the Holy Spirit's not like that. He's like, you don't tell the Holy Spirit how to save someone. Yeah? Some people he saves immediately, instantaneously, dramatically. Others he saves over a long period of time. Some people can't tell you when they were saved, but they know they are. Yeah? Amen. That's the Spirit's job. Amen.
That's right.
And so you can't see him and what he's doing, but you can see the fruit. Amen. You know when a person is saved, right? You know what the fruit of the Spirit looks like, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. You know that this is coming forth from a life that's connected to the vine. This true fruit, this godly fruit comes from the true vine. They may not know exactly when it happened, but they know that it did.
Yeah.
So you see, the Spirit is like the wind. Nobody, isn't it amazing to see how weather prognosticators have to get humble. You ever see them have to eat humble apple pie, whatever the phrase is, after they've made a wrong forecast? And, And of course, it's the computer model's fault, right?
Right.
Our model said this. Now, and they're going to take credit when it's right. You know, like Channel 4 likes to brag about their 90%, I don't know we're this many percent right. But now when it's wrong, it's the computer model's fault, okay? And so the issue is for all of us is that when you come to this matter with Christ, he is always, always on time. The fruit of the life will never be rotten. The fruit of a believer's life will always be good. Okay? And you let the Bible define what that fruit is. And so you may not understand how you were saved, but if you are saved, you know that you are. All right? And other people will know that you are because you will bear fruit. Yes? That's what the Bible teaches. And if you're not bearing fruit, then you need to examine your life. Yeah? Okay? And so we've got these great truths in front of us. And the fact is that we thank God that he saves people however he wants to. The Holy Spirit saves in his own way. We don't know how he's going to move in a person's life. Don't get frustrated with people when they're not moving as fast as you want them to. Some plant, what? Some water, but what? God is the one that gives the increase. Thank God for that. Well, as we close, I want you to think about this, brothers and sisters, that miracles attract both pretenders and genuine seekers of Christ. Okay? Miracles attract both. It's like you've seen at nighttime when a light shines. That light attracts all kind of bugs, doesn't it? And so when God works a miracle, it attracts all kind of, I'm not being crass, but all kind of bugs come after those miracles, all right? Attraction to miracles and belief in miracles alone will never, never, never save a sinner. It just will not do it. And you know this, Jesus knows the intent and the motive of everyone's heart. He is never, never, never in error. He's always right. Those who genuinely seek truth and those who genuinely seek the true God understand that godly miracles point you to God himself. Godly miracles always point to God. No one, and I want you to nail this one down, no one seeks after God naturally. No one in this room should think that you found God. God was not lost. You weren't seeking after him. When you started seeking him, it's because he had already worked inside you. You realized you needed him, then you pursued. See, he pursued you first. He found you when you were lost. The Holy Spirit worked inside you to create that desire for him, and then you pursued him. Yes? Now you say, well, Brother Willie, where do you get that from? You don't have to turn there, but listen to Romans 3, verses 9 through 12. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. Did you hear that? That's in your Bible in Romans 3. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. What do we say to that? Amen. 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 That takes all of the steam out of my credit. And it says to me, I'm so thankful that God didn't pass me by. Yeah? See, that's the reason every Christian, you got a reason to be thankful regardless of what's going on in your life. You saved? Neither death nor life nor angels nor powers, principalities, height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You always got a reason to be thankful. Amen. You know where you're going. Nothing can stop you from getting home. Yeah? And you know when you get there, you got Christ waiting on you. You got all of heaven waiting on you. You got all of this wonderful, this blessed eternal life waiting on you there. You've got a reason to be thankful. And so none of us were seeking God. Thank God he pursued us. Now, listen to Jesus. What can we say then? If nobody seeks after God, where is the hope? Where can we have hope? Listen to Jesus. You must be what? Born again. You must be born again. That's the hope. That's the hope for anyone. That's the hope for everyone who will listen to Jesus. Jesus, as he said to Nicodemus, he says to you and me, here's your hope. You can be born again. But there's no alternative. The must is an imperative. There's no alternative. There's no better way. As a matter of fact, you say, well, I'm going to stop cheating. That won't do it. I'm going to stop lying. That won't do it. I'm going to stop sexting. Is that what they call it now? That won't do it. I'm going to stop getting high. That's not going to make it right. You say, well, I'm going to start reading my Bible. That's not going to fix you. I'm going to start praying. That's not going to fix you. I'm going to start going to Sunday school and Bible study. That's not going to get you right. I'm going to join the choir. I'm going to become an usher. I want to be a deacon. I want to be a preacher. That's not going to fix you. Amen. Amen. You what? Must be born what? Again. There's no other way. Right? Stop running from it. Stop trying to appease yourself with other things. This is it. This is where life begins. Regardless of how old you are, regardless of how long you've been associated with the church, be honest like Nicodemus. Lord, I hear you. I need to be what? Born again. That is the most honest confession you'll ever make. And that will affect your eternity. Be real with God. And see, if you're already saved, you can stand the test. Right? Paul wrote to Corinthians, examine what? Yourself, to see if in fact you pass the test. If you have been born again, you know it. Yeah? You must call upon the Lord and depend upon the Holy Spirit to change you from the inside, to change your thinking, change your will, change your emotions. You must call upon him to send divine power from heaven. Call upon him to give you what? New life, to give you eternal life, to give you divine life. Call upon the Spirit to open the eyes of your heart. Call upon him to open the ears of your heart. God alone, through the power of the Spirit, must work this mighty miracle for anyone to be saved. You must be born again. And if you are a Christian, then you already have been born again. Therefore, my brother, my sister, you ought to be rejoicing. When you look at a situation like this, where a man has been in religion most of his life and he was unsaved, and you actually here today and know that you've already been born again, oh my!
Yeah.
And some of you have been born again for many, many years.
Yes.
Think of all of the years you didn't waste. Now, I was 28, so I wasted a lot of, but I thank God on this side. At 65, I've got some that I didn't waste. I have been born again, and joy that fills my soul.
Yes.
Doesn't come from cars and houses and jobs. Yeah. It's the joy of what? The Lord. The joy of the Lord. There's nothing like it. Nothing compares to it.
Amen.
Live for Christ. You've been born again. Live for Christ. Be a witness for him. And if you're not a Christian, You need to listen to Jesus today. Don't run from this. You don't have to, I tell you all the time, you don't have to come down front here. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do anything other than come to Jesus. Now, after you come to him, you will want to come down front. You will want to raise your hand. You will want to speak for him. But where you are right now, if you know that you have not been born again, be real with Jesus today, and he'll save you. Lord, we want to thank you for every way that you've loved us and helped us and kept us. We want to thank you the way the times that you've dealt with us like Nicodemus when we needed so much help from you. We want to thank you that you so gently and carefully taught us your will and your way. We want to thank you that you've forgiven all of our sins and that we, Lord, love you because you first loved us. We want to thank you that we have been not just born of our mother, but born of our Father in heaven. We want to thank you, Lord, for the great blessing of being brought out of the darkness into your marvelous light. We want to thank you that the eyes of our hearts now have been opened and that we can see and we have entered the kingdom of God. Now, would you help someone here today, Lord? Someone who cannot see and who has not entered. Would you help someone here today to be real with you just like Nicodemus? And would you bring them on into the kingdom? Would you help them seek you with all their heart and bring them on? Holy Spirit, work mightily here today. Bring one to yourself into the family of God for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow together for just a few minutes, and then we'll see if there are any questions.